The following is a paid program.
It's time to talk UK sports with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. Join in the discussion by tweeting your questions to at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com. And you can call 877-904-1080. Now, along with an outstanding lineup of guests and broadcast to the most passionate fan base in America, the Big Blue Nation, here's the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach.
Hello from Jacksonville, Florida. The Wildcats here to play in the NCAA tournament on Thursday night against Abilene Christian. And we are happy to have you on board as the tournament journey is about to begin for the Wildcats. And we'll talk about it today. Tony Delk, I had a chance to catch up with Tony earlier this week. And we'll get some of his insights into the matchup. Chris Fisher from the Cat's Paws, Lee K. Howard from WKYT-TV, and if we have enough time left, former Auburn coach Sonny Smith, who now does the Auburn Radio Network, we caught up with him down at the SEC tournament. He had some nice things to say about the Wildcats, so we'll try to get that in as well. That guest lineup always presented by Sleep Outfitters. Our show is served up each day by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And you can interact with us via Twitter at Leach Report. You can email leachreport@gmail.com or you can give us a call. We'll get to the Wildcat News of the Day, a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Open practice today for the Wildcats at Vistar Veterans Memorial Coliseum at 3:25 Eastern Time. They'll conduct their regular practice elsewhere today. And all the attention is going to be focused on P.J. Washington at this open practice and at the news conference because there was quite a bit of social media buzz yesterday when P.J. was observed in a walking boot. U.K. spokesman Eric Lindsay confirmed to media sources that it was just a precautionary measure. But anything like that this time of year is going to set off a bit of a panic in the Big Blue Nation. Teams generally play it very close to the vest with medical issues, and I can't add any inside info about PJ. Obviously they haven't practiced or anything. I can tell you from watching a lot of football practices, guys who are perfectly fine to play are often in boots for minor issues during the week of the game to speed up the healing process. PJ, according to what the reports I saw, Eric said that he was placed in this boot on Sunday. So my guess is that this story will essentially come to an end later today at the open practice and the news conferences. But we'll see if there's if he's not practicing, if he's still in a boot, then obviously Cal. And PJ and others will be asked about it, and you'll get some more insight. But again, I just kind of lean on that experience from football, where that is something they, in really the last couple of years, they use the boot a lot because it's a tool to help them with the healing process. Kind of takes a little bit of the weight bearing off a foot, a leg, an ankle, whatever it might be, and with a given player, and just speeds up the healing process. And it's something that if they didn't have that they would have gone about it some other way, and the player still would have probably played, but he or she is just in better shape to play by the time the game rolls around, especially if you got a little time between games like you did here from Saturday to Thursday. As opposed to, sometimes if you're in a boot right after a game and you have a game to play that next day, then it's more of a concern. But we'll see. That'll be the big storyline, obviously, today here in Jacksonville when the teams start gathering over at the arena. A couple of other notes. Last night, Belmont and Fairleigh Dickinson were winners as the tournament got started with the first four in Dayton. Two more games are played there today. Fairleigh Dickinson had to come from behind to beat Prairie View A&M, and Belmont was ahead, lost the lead, then came back and put away Temple in Fran Dunphy's final game as coach. So two really good games last night. A couple of football notes. Yesterday was an interview day at spring practice. Offensive coordinator Eddie Grant talked. One of the things he said is they're doing a lot of new things with Lynn Bowden to get him the ball in different places. Lynn's has a real high football IQ, very bright young man, and so he can handle a lot. And that's what Eddie was saying yesterday. They can use him in a lot of different ways. So you might see them get as creative, I'm guessing, with Lynn as Matt House did with moving Josh Allen around last season. Once he had experience and had that great skill set, just like Lynn now has a couple of years under his belt. So we'll see if that brings some new excitement on the offensive side. He talked about a couple of young receivers that haven't played yet that have caught his eye, Bryce Oliver and Marvin Alexander. One other football note, Randall Cobb signs a one-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Mitch Barnhart, one of five finalists for Athletic Director of the Year. And John Calipari apparently got $1 million from Facebook for that behind-the-scenes show that they did last year. And he has said that since he can't share it with his players by rules of the NCAA, he's donating it to charity kind of in their name so that it's going back to the community. So a nice move there. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We're heading to a break. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, coming to you today from Jacksonville, Florida. And when we come back, you'll hear from Tony Delk on the Leach Report.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show as we welcome in on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. Tony Delk, was a great pleasure to get to work a couple of games with Tony when Mike Pratt was on the DL earlier this season. I think we did Georgia and Auburn. And Tony was working at the SEC tournament for the SEC radio network last weekend. So we'll talk about that game, Tony, in a minute. But first, let's just talk about Kentucky's draw. This is number 2 seed in the Midwest region to North Carolina as the one. What do you think about Kentucky's potential path to get to Minneapolis?
Well, I mean, you know, you don't want to underestimate any team or any opponent you're going to play against at this time of year. Each of these teams are representing their conference. They've won consecutive games, and they're there for a reason. So I don't think Coach Cal and that young staff, or actually young players, would underestimate anyone, because even if you win, you know, you still have to maybe face a senior all team that they lost to in overtime, and if you go past them, talk about maybe and you know, Ohio State, potentially Kansas they can run into at some point in time, and then, you know, it'll be North Carolina they beat early in the season. So it's never going to be, to me, an easy path for any of these teams. You know, because it only takes one bad game. Because you and I, we've seen these top-rated teams and teams that just go on to win, and two of them last year were Virginia and Arizona. So I think with the mid-majors, that have gotten better, and with these teams being able to ask the players that play with each other probably 5 or 6 years before you get to college. You know, these guys are familiar with one another. So I think it's a respect all the way around from Power 5 conference.
As you look at the bracket, anybody that say not a 1 or a 2 seed, the logical teams that could be make their way to a Final Four, anybody say 3 seed and below that you're high on?
I'm going to tell you, I really do like, I mean, I know there's 12. I like New Mexico State, and maybe I'm a little biased because I've worked out there, but they don't get enough respect. You know, it's the coaching staff. If coaches have moved on from their program, you know, the team continuously win 28-29 games, and were really, really close to beating Kansas last season. And this Auburn team better not take them lightly. I mean, you better respect them, and they're a team that could definitely come in. You know, I know they're a much, much higher seed, but, you know, they could knock off a team like Auburn, you know, who's probably playing their best basketball right now, having won 8 games straight, and, you know, just basically, just mantle Tennessee. I mean, I did not see that victory being by that margin, but a team is clicking at the right time to have the right depth, and, you know, if they get past New Mexico State, you know, they could possibly make some noise themselves.
How do you think Kentucky bounces back from a very disappointing loss? Do they just shake that off, say it was kind of a fluke, they'd win that game 9 times out of 10, or does it have a lingering effect?
I don't think it has a lingering effect. I think what it does for them is, you know, I think it helps younger guys that even though you have the 8-point lead and there's 2 or 3 minutes left in the game, you have to execute down the spread. You have to make sure that you don't turn the ball over and you have to get a shot every time. And you have to expect the zone, because when a team is having problems guarding your man, that when they go zone, they have to. So I think that'll help Coach Cal explain to those guys, you know, this is what I expect out of you guys, especially when a team goes zone late. You know, we have to get the shot and you have to value the ball. And, you know, just that play where Grant Williams hit that corner three, you know, Nick Richards got to know that the only thing that hurts you in that position, in that possession, is giving up a three-point shot. And you can't have both feet in the lane. And when you close out, you got to close out and use that just a 6-left frame and your long arms to make him alter that shot. So, for me, it was a learning point for all those young guys, and no better time to be teaching your kids right now. Especially, they played well all season. I mean, that Tennessee game seemed like it was Tennessee's championship game. You know, they definitely showed up yesterday to play. It was more about beat Kentucky and that name, but Kentucky will bounce back. PJ, of course, he had to stay out of foul trouble. I mean, and I think it gives Reed Travis another a few more days to kind of get those legs on him and get that bounce back.
We certainly saw, I guess, certainly first evidence of it when Reed was out, how important he is to them, and then to have him back, he made a huge difference.
Oh, yes, he does. I mean, you know, you can't create his you know, his experience is something that, you know, I think goes unnoticed, but he has experience that Coach Cal trusts and believes in, and then just that big body, you know, takes up a lot of space down there, and it just depends on, you know, how the game is being called. Because, I mean, he could play physical. So even with that Tennessee game, it was physical. And then I think the last few minutes, you know, it went from being a physical game to it changed. It changed to just touch the foul. So if it stays physical, that's great for Reed Travis. And, you know, I look at PJ. PJ is really going to have to stay out of foul trouble because he's the one guy that we can throw the ball to at the mid post. And he can create havoc, but, you know, just that size, that athleticism, you know, that front line, those two guys are those guys are key to Kentucky, you know, advancing each and every round. And then Tyler Herro has to knock down the shots. And then Higgins has to make sure, you know, late in the game, you know, he makes sure he gets the ball to the right people and make the right decision. I think that Tennessee game will be a learning point for him, as I said earlier, as well as Tyler Herro, that, you know, you have to be strong with the ball, you have to meet the pass, and, you know, we have to execute the last couple of minutes of the game. Even though you have a lead, you know, that team that's behind is desperate because they're trying to tie the game up or even get the lead. So it's about being aggressive with the ball. So, you know, losing that game to Tennessee, I don't think would be a setback.
Talking with Tony Delk, and he and Rex Chapman are going to be doing coverage of the tournament on the live streaming show that the NCAA is doing, working with Andy Katz, I believe. So is that at NCAA.com?
I think it's NCAA.com. I know it's going to be tied into a ton of studios, and it was fun last year. I got a chance to, you know, work side by side with Andy, and you know, we talked basketball for hours. So it's, to me, the most exciting time of the year for collegiate, of course, collegiate basketball. But, you know, it's just that time of year where we all as fans, you know, we get on support our university and want to see the sleeper teams, you know, probably upset some teams, but, you know, it's a fun time of year for fans and definitely for the players.
And Tony has a lot of things going on, a regenerative medicine center here in Lexington, and then a couple of wines you're involved with production of, right?
Yeah. We have to do an interview in the morning to talk about the IMAX Regenerative Center that deals with the stem cell platelet plasma, chiropractic, physical therapy. I want to talk more about that on one of the shows in the morning, and then I get a chance to with the Kentucky Eagle, courtesy of my guy on the phone with Tom Leach, connecting me with the right people over
They're
there.
They're good folks.
Meeting with them. And so, you know, yeah, just trying to promote the Lorenzo's brand, which is Riesling, the Chardonnay, and a Cab. So have a lot going on and have gotten really great support from the community, the Lexington community, which has really helped my IMAX Generation Center, as well as, you know, just trying to promote the wine and just out promoting and doing things, and still be involved with my Kentucky teammates as well as, you know, just a Kentucky fan.
Good stuff. Tony Delk, thank you much.
Okay, thank you.
Wildcat Hall of Fame legend Tony Delk there. We pre-taped that interview because he was going to be unable to join us live at this time, so made a couple of references there that you probably picked up on. On one other project for Tony, he's got the book he did, Shooter, that you could check out. This is the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Hamburg and Palomar is where you'll find them here in Lexington. They're Kentucky-owned and operated. Everything's made from scratch. The omelets are maybe my favorite thing on the menu at Wild Eggs, but you'll have your favorite, too. Check them out. It's the Leach Report. We'll be right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome back into our show for this Wednesday from Jacksonville. And we go to the Kentucky Branded Hotline to bring on Chris Fisher from catspaws.com. Just saw a note on Twitter from, I can't remember which reporter it was, that is at the pod where Duke is. And there are 575 media credentials that have been issued for that. Zion Williamson is the story this March, is he not?
He absolutely is, and it, if you think about it, dwarfs the media coverage that even that 38-0 Kentucky team got a couple of years ago, where, you know, ESPN was following them for much of the season, but it's gotten to the point where, you know, ESPN is in the Duke business, and they're doing really, really well with it.
Well, it goes to show you too, I guess it's what the NBA has seized on, that people are captivated more by the individual stars than the great team.
You know, and coming into college, Zion already had such a huge following on social media and elsewhere. And even this season, he's been such a bigger star than I think anyone could have anticipated. I mean, he's really taken the college basketball world by storm. And not just the hype, but even his performances, I think, have been much better and much higher than anyone could have expected.
Yeah, I wonder if that, you know, all the attention that he's getting and how it will pay off financially, I wonder how that will change, you know, you cover the recruiting game, I wonder how that will change, you know, what you see out there with young players, what they're doing to build a brand or anything differently that they do.
Yeah, I think coming out of high school, I think a lot of players are so much more conscious about that very thing, about their brand, and more often than not, these kids look at, you know, making their college decisions as a business decision. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all to see, you know, the situation with Zion maybe take that even to a whole nother level.
We're talking with Chris Fisher from catspaws.com. Coming up on the hard break at the bottom of the hour, so we'll continue this discussion in just a couple of moments and talk about the Cats as they begin their tourney journey tomorrow here in Jacksonville against Abilene Christian. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Halfway home. We'll be right back.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Back with Chris Fisher from CatsPaws.com. You can also follow at Chris Fisher 24/7 on Twitter. All the buzz is about PJ Washington being in a boot yesterday, and there's nothing we can add to it, but we'll find out more at the open practice today. But it goes to show you just what it's like around a program like Kentucky this time of year, how something can take off.
Yeah, absolutely, and it shows you just the, you know, the fragility of the NCAA tournament, and it takes more than just being, you know, the best team for six straight games. There's a lot of luck and you know, randomness involved, and I understand Kentucky fans were disappointed with the loss to Tennessee and missing out on, you know, a fifth straight SEC tournament championship and a, you know, possible two seed and you know, and the opportunity to play in Louisville. But the fact remains that, you know, Kentucky really played a great game for 38 minutes against one of the best teams in the country and against a team that has a legitimate chance to make a Final Four. And so I think that's all you can ask for at this point in the season. It's March, and Kentucky is, you know, playing some of its best basketball. A lot of that will depend on, like you said, the health of PJ Washington, the health of Reed Travis, who I thought looked much better than really anyone could have expected after missing those five games. And so they have a chance, and I think that's really all you can ask for at this point in the season.
You know, I've said this before, that I thought the morning of February 19th that Duke and Kentucky were starting to separate from the pack of this college basketball season, and then Reed got hurt that night and Zion got hurt the next night. Both of those guys are back for their respective teams, and if you had if the second half had been 17 minutes long, you would have looked at Duke's performance in the ACC tournament and that Kentucky game against Tennessee, where they would have, you know, won by 8 points at that point, and you would have probably maybe come to that conclusion again, right?
Yeah, I think so, and I think Kentucky and Duke are right there. I think North Carolina is another school here over the last couple of weeks that's really separated themselves and is a club that is playing some of its best basketball. But I think, you know, if you're Kentucky, you like your half of the draw in the Midwest, and on the other half of that region, you have a North Carolina team that you already beat by, you know, close to double digits earlier this season. So I know a lot of Kentucky fans wanted the opportunity to see Kentucky play in Louisville and play that de facto home game. But there's a lot to like, I think, about their draw in the Midwest as well.
We're talking with Chris Fisher from catspaws.com. We're folks have another day to turn in their brackets for contests. So we're asking everybody for some thoughts. Who is in your Final Four? And is there who are some of the upset candidates that you see out there?
I think you have to go with Duke out of the East. I just think, you know, they're 23-1 this season when they're at full strength, and I think you have to look at them as kind of the odds-on favorite to win the whole thing. I think one interesting team that you have to keep an eye on would be Auburn. I think they're kind of a big, you know, risk-reward play in the brackets. When they're hitting threes, they can beat, you know, just about anybody. But, you know, we saw how they kind of flamed out in the first round of the NCAA tournament last season. So I think they're a team to kind of keep an eye on as well. I think Michigan State is another team that's unfortunately paired with Duke that could be lying in the weeds, you know, should they reach the Elite Eight, or, you know, they were even in another region. But it'll be fun to watch. It always is.
Chris, what about Keon Brooks committed last week? What's your take on his game and how he fits in at Kentucky when he arrives?
You know, I think he's a perfect fit for Kentucky at both ends of the floor, especially when you factor in what John Calipari's been looking for in a player here over the last couple of years. His versatility offensively, being able to step out on the perimeter, his jumper has gotten markedly better over the last year and a half. He's a guy that can put it on the floor and get to the rim. He's very, very long. He rebounds at a high level. And he's also a kid that can defend multiple positions, and we all know how important that is to a John Calipari coach team.
And then I see a new mock draft from this is over at ESPN.com. And I think at least as it gets closer to the draft, there's maybe a little more credence in these things. But it has P.J. Washington actually as the first Wildcat being picked, Keldon dropping a bit, Tyler Hero rising a bit. But the thing about it is, if Keldon had a couple of big games in this tournament, he could move right back up. So I think – but I think the – would you say the consensus probably is that all three of those guys would be making early departures?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think PJ and Keldon were the two surefire guys kind of coming into the second half of the season. I certainly think Tyler Hero has made a case for himself to be kind of a, you know, mid to late first round pick as well. I just think when you look at his overall game and his overall skill set as an offensive player, it really is tailor made for everything you're looking for in the modern NBA. He can shoot it from the perimeter, he can space the floor, he can get to the rim and finish. I think he's really underrated at getting to the basket and finishing once he gets there. And so you look at, you know, Kevin Huerter from Maryland, who kind of played his way into the first round last season. I think you could see a similar situation with Tyler Hero as well.
Chris, thanks much.
All right, thanks, Tom.
It's Chris Fisher, CatsPaws.com on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. And we'll head to a break. Lee K. Howard from WKYT coming up next. He's here in Jacksonville covering the Cats. We'll talk to him next on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at TalkRadio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back into the show, about 16 away from the top of the hour and the end of our show from here in Jacksonville for today. But we'll be here for a couple of more days as the Wildcats begin play in the NCAA tournament. Open practice today at 3:25 Eastern time. I would expect there'd be a nice turnout of the Big Blue Nation because there's a large alumni presence in this part of Florida. We see it when the Wildcats are over in Gainesville to play the Gators or at things like the bowl game this year in Orlando. So I would imagine we'll see a good number of Kentucky fans there today. 3:25 Eastern is when the Cats will take the court. I think their news conferences are prior to that. So that's when you'll get updates on P.J. Washington and the what is rapidly becoming famous boot. And I think it's 2:45 when the media sessions begin today here in Jacksonville for Kentucky. But with eight teams here, they're going on all day. Lee K. Howard is over there now at the Veterans Arena, and we're going to try to catch up to him here in just a second. I'll tell you what, Shannon, let's do a little producing on the air. We'll go to the Sonny Smith interview and then try to reconnect with Lee K. Down in Nashville. Our Chris LeBar caught up to the former Auburn coach, current radio analyst on the Auburn Network, and he started out, Sonny Smith did, talking about the unselfishness he sees in this Kentucky team.
Doesn't have them long enough to be great ball sharers and team activity type things. Well, he has done that with this team. They share the ball, they have great space, and they give great effort. And they seem to like one another. And, you know, that's where when you say seems, you know, you don't know. But they sure look like they like one another. And, of course, he's always been a great coach. Anybody can take first-year guys and beat everybody all the time. It's got to be great.
But to make them play that well together as one unit, how do you do that, Coach?
Well, he's a detailed kind of guy. And he does it in practice. He does it in individual workouts. And I've never been to his practice, but I know him. And I think that's got to be done in practice. It's not a game thing. And you can educate your team before they hit the floor. It's where they keep that education taught, and they do it for him.
Kentucky's not for everybody, and Coach has said as much. No. Define the role in recruiting to kind of weed out the guys that maybe his style wouldn't fit.
Well, I've always said this, and it sounds crazy. Kentucky selects. They don't recruit. They wait until it comes out who the best players are. And I don't know the number that they pick out, but if you think about it, whoever they go after, they generally get. So to me, it's the best basketball program in the country.
The whole nation saw that game November 6th with Kentucky and Duke. How would you describe the growth that has taken place for the Cats since that game?
Well, I can only judge them off television and the game that we played with them. Well, they were all together. One thing, well, I think if I had to put one thing in, I would say a point guard has made them selfless, not selfish. He's made them selfless. He gets them the ball, so consequently they think they got to get somebody the ball. And I think all the credit goes to John and his staff plus that point guard.
What do you look for here in the next few weeks outside of this tournament this weekend?
Well, I think if the best teams win, well, I think we'll go far in NCAA. Uh-huh. But if they can't adjust to the officials and some of our better teams get beat, we won't go far.
Because officiating's different in the tournament, unquestionably.
Well, I think guys are officials are trying to move on too, and they're also trying not to make a mistake with the rules. You know, when during the regular season they might have let some of those rules go, but now. If you notice right towards the end of the season, if you drove to the basket, somebody put a hand on you, it's a foul call. Well, if they, you know, that's the rule. If they're able to do that, then I think that, you know, the best teams will go.
It was Sonny Smith. I thought just some real interesting insights from a former coach. We have talked about this before where somebody that's not around the team makes some observations. Sometimes you get some interesting insight. And so this is a very unselfish group. There's a good read from Kyle Tucker that is out now at theathletic.com. Kyle, of course, will be in with us on Monday again. But we'll talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, get the final one out of the way, see if we can connect with Lee Kay over at the arena. And we'll be right back. It is the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, coming to you today from Jacksonville, Florida. Lee K. Howard's here, too, from WKYT-TV. You over at the arena?
I am. In fact, I was the first person in line at the media entrance this morning, but it's now buzzing.
Look at you.
The arena top. Look at that.
So what's it like?
It's like any other NCAA tournament at this point. People scrambling around trying to get their bearings and getting ready for this first press conference of the day coming up here pretty soon. I think Abilene Christian has their press conference at 11 a.m.
Obviously, when Kentucky rolls in, all the attention is going to be focused on the famous boot for P.J. Washington, and we'll get some more insight into that later today, but at least you don't have to worry about what your storyline is.
Yeah, I think the first storyline is pretty much laid out there for us. I think everybody's got to figure out the severity of the boot for P.J. Washington. And, you know, you've seen players in the past, football players, basketball players, if they're nursing a small ankle, you know, type injury, wear a boot during the week, maybe going to class as a precautionary. And so hopefully for UK fans, that's all it is. I saw PJ at Calipari's house on Sunday for the selection show, and he seemed to be walking around just fine, and he was not wearing a boot at that point. So we'll see if it's just precautionary. That'll be great news for the Wildcats.
Yeah, and we'll see what that happens. I guess 2:45 Eastern that Kentucky starts talking, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. They go this afternoon. They have their press conference and their practice. So it'll also be telling to see, you know, what is PJ doing during that open practice. Is he out there? Looks like he's moving around. Is he standing on the sidelines with the boot? That'll give us a pretty good indication right there what his status is for tomorrow night.
Going into the break there, I mentioned a story that just posted this morning over at The Athletic by Kyle Tucker, just kind of a recap of the season and what they can – the stories they're allowed to do at The Athletic then go to so much more depth that it's a really great kind of look behind the curtain as to how this season went along, and we'll talk with Kyle about this when he's in on Monday. But it is just interesting because it kind of summarizes what we've seen unfold with these guys, Lee Kay, in that this is a team that coming into the season was thought to be one of the probably top two teams in the country, strong national title contender, and then very first night out, they're up there battling for to be at the top of the hill early in the season, and they get knocked all the way down to the bottom of the hill. So they climb back up through November, get better defensively, and kind of have a breakthrough against Greensboro, and they have a little setback against Seton Hall. They lose a couple of lose a little space on the hill, so to speak. So they climb back up, beat North Carolina and Louisville, get knocked back by Alabama. They climb back up through the Tennessee route in Rupp Arena. Reed Travis gets hurt. So it just seems like, you know, and then Reed Travis fouling out in the game against Tennessee. It seems like all year long this team has been battling back up that hill, and every time they get close to the top, they get knocked down a few feet. But that ought to toughen them for this March run, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. When I think about this team, Tom, I think about a team that's very experienced with a lot of different things, like you just mentioned, even winning in a lot of different ways. They've been on the terrible end of being blown out by Duke, and I think that kind of got their attention. You know, you look at the 2014 team, and they were kind of the underdogs all around and really made a run right there at the end. The 2015 team had never really experienced what it was like to be blown out or even lose a game until the Final Four. This team here, you know, they've had the highs of the highs. They've had the disappointing overtime loss against Seton Hall in the Garden. You know, they've been through a lot. They have a lot of experiences that they're taking into this tournament. And I think you're right, you know, going up and down and up and down. Now the difference is now you can't afford to go down. I mean,
right.
You know, it's all up or you're done. So, I mean, that is kind of the difference. But I think some of those experiences that you mentioned will certainly pay dividends when you talk about making a tournament run. I think this team, this Kentucky team, because of maybe that Duke loss, they're going to be coming in here with a chip on their shoulder. Nobody's expecting anybody except for Duke to win the entire tournament. So, you know, all you have to do is look to that as motivation. And I think Kentucky Wildcats will certainly have plenty of motivation coming into the tournament.
When we were down in Nashville last week, I know you were working on some future stories, one of which you were asking me about a famous Perry Stevenson dunk that is getting its 10-year anniversary this year over in the NIT game that was played at Memorial Coliseum against UNLV. What's the backstory on this? What are we going to see it on KYT?
We have a we actually, that's a good call. We have a NCAA tournament special this evening at 7 o'clock on WKYT, and we're doing a lot of things with the current team, but we're also looking back at some history things. The Perry Stevenson famous dunk against UNLV in the Memorial Coliseum was actually 10 years ago on Sunday, on the 17th of March. So that was the 10-year anniversary of that dunk, and that was probably the highlight of that year since it was an NIT year. But we're kind of looking back on some fun things and looking back on past tournament runs and stuff like that. But, yes, you can see that tonight at 7 on WKYT.
And for those that aren't in the Lexington market, you can find it at WKYT.com as well. Lee Kay, thanks much. We'll see you over there later today.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Tom.
That's Lee Kay Howard. We are done for this Wednesday. Back tomorrow with Mike Pratt, Justin Rowland, and more from here in Nashville. We'll have some sound from the news conferences, too. See you then on the Leach Report.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com.